Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every weekday evening, sometimes at 6:30, sometimes at 8, sometimes at 9:30, and generally on weekends as at 8 o'clock or 9:30 or 11. And I want to give you a little background. Tonight I'm going to be talking, yesterday as I talked about the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and I focused yesterday on the correct understanding of the first commandment of the Decalogue, an extremely advanced command, which is the worship of any other gods other than Jehovah or Yahweh. And this suggestion commands monotheism, since other gods are out of the question. You can't have more than one God. Just as Jesus said he was the only way to know God, this commandment says there is only one God who has created everything as a source of all justice and power. And this commandment sets apart the Hebrew nation and their concept and Jesus of God in opposition to any other form of polytheism or any other claim to be God. The second commandment forbids the making and worship of a graven image. It emphasizes that Yahweh is a spiritual entity. He cannot be represented by anything material. Like the first commandment, it's monotheistic, and it is equally advanced concept of God as a spirit. The nation surrounding the Jewish nation embraced idolatry and polytheism on a grand scale, and as I said, were largely polytheistic in their orientation, as is the Greco-Roman pantheon and today the Hindu gods. I also spoke about the Ten Commandments, which was a great moral advance, since it attacks the thought pattern of envy and jealousy, which is a weakness in all men and women, and leads in our innermost thoughts of desires in jealousy and jealousy and envy to murder and all kinds of terrible things are the source of envy and jealousy. Tonight I'll give you a little background about myself once again. This is a politically incorrect show. We aim to get at the facts and get at the truth. We're not interested in political hype, media lies, media falsehoods. We're interested in getting an honest discernment of the truth and the facts and the truth. And that's all we're interested in. We do this by critical thinking, number one. Number two, I cannot emphasize this more. We do this by reading books that are of value. And without books, we will be in a state of darkness and ignorance, essentially, which is our present situation in many respects. Books are the key to the light and destroying the darkness of ignorance and stupidity. Without books, we are doomed to darkness and ignorance and being brought down, down, down to nothing. Next, I am a Christian. I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and also believe in the creeds of the Church, Apostles, Athanasian, and Nicene Creed as a statement of God's truth. And if I'm going to read a book, I'll read C.S. Lewis, I'll read G.K. Chesterton, I'll read T.S. Eliot, or I'll read a great Christian author going farther back, such as St. Augustine, Calvin, Luther, etc. These are the people whose thoughts will enlighten me. And the New York Times and People magazine, I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, are a waste of my time. And as Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, he said two things I'll never forget. He said, looking at images is a drug. Images is a drug as opposed to print. And he said that the Bible is the foundation of Western thought, which is doubtless true. Next, I am a radio host. I run two radio shows, a podcast show and this Blog Talk show, and it's visited by many people from hundreds of countries. The podcast show has been visited by over 4,300 people from 80 countries, and it's noteworthy that many Muslim countries in China have visited this Blog Talk radio show, and particularly Saudi Arabia. I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the Muslim brothers and sisters visiting these shows and reading my Christian books. Next, I am a writer. and I've written 10 books, and some of them are Christian books, such as Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables, the commentary on the parables, as well as two legal books, Select Legal Doctrines, Volume 1 and 2. And just lately, I have produced a very extensive commentary on the Psalms. The Psalms are one of my favorite books of the Bible. They are great religious poetry, and their thinking is very great. As John Donne said of the Psalms, the great Anglican poet, the great English poet, he said that the Psalms were the manna of the church. Without the Psalms, we are impoverished. Without the Bible, without reading the Bible, you're going to be impoverished. But certainly without reading the Psalms, which are so profound and so beautiful, you will be impoverished. Next, I am writing other books, a book on the miracles in the Bible, a book on a commentary on the book of Job, and also I'm writing other books of the blogs that I've produced over the years, over 800. Two sets of blog books, which I think the public will find quite interesting, I would hope. And I'm preparing a book on criminal hearings and et cetera. And hopefully these books, I think I'm a fan of books. I believe in books. And for me, books are the root, the essential root to knowledge and thought. Without books, our society will sink down to the kingdom of darkness run by Satan. Satan doesn't want people to have knowledge. He doesn't want people to have books because people will learn the truth from books. Without books, we do not know the truth. Certainly the images on television and computers convey nothing. As Mortimer Ridley said of those images, they are drugs and nothing more. There is no thought in them. I've also written over 800 blogs, and which are visited by people from many countries in academia at EDU and others. Many people visit these blogs and essays on literary blogs, political, and as well as religious blogs on religion. And I've written three articles, extensive articles, two in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, on our educational system and on sexual discrimination, and both have been bought by the State Department and many European libraries and many libraries all over the world, including China and Japan, and many European libraries, particularly in Germany. My article in the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, that has been bought by the United States Supreme Court, as well as the State Department and many other institutions. Now, that's as far as I'm going to say about my background. If you're interested, I'm not pushing the envelope about myself, but I'm trying to get through to my listeners of what that I might have something of value to say. Tonight I'm going to talk about, again, the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to talk about Jesus' extension of them, the meaning of them. Well, let's take a look at the other commandments. Number one, commandment prohibits the use or misuse of any abuse of God's name in perjury and curses. This is extremely intellectual and spiritually advanced, since it is directed to intellectual and spoken word misuse. The third commandment prohibits any misuse of God's name in perjury or making vows and not keeping them. The commandment is very advanced spiritually and intellectually, since it is directed to intellectual and spoken word misuse. Very important. Not to use misuse of God's name in perjury or making vows and not keeping them. The commandment is very demanding and spiritually and intellectually advanced, since it is directed to thought and the spoken word with respect to God. I want to talk about, now, there are other things that I'm going to talk about, but I think you should know about the Sixth Commandment refers to murder as prohibited and is not addressed to killing in war or capital punishment. The Seventh Commandment refers to adultery. So, we have these two commandments. The Sixth Commandment prohibits murder, but not capital punishment or killing in war. And the Seventh Commandment refers to adultery with another man's wife. Now, these are very, 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 they're obviously, they're very basic moral issues. But Jesus makes an extension of them. For example, in Matthew 5, 21-23, Jesus says, the commandment not to kill is extended to the point that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to counsel. Whoever says you fool shall be liable to the hell fire. So we have to understand that Jesus is very perceptive in his extension of his understanding of murder. He says that everyone who is angry has committed this murder. What he's saying is anger leads to this action of murder. He's saying it's the root. That's why he equates anger with murder. So in Matthew 5, 21-23, Jesus says, the commandment not to kill is extended that everyone who is angry with his brother, insults his brother, or calls him you fool, will be subject to hell. So he's making clear that use of angry words and anger, they are not only equated with murder, and they are equated with murder because they lead to murder. They are the root to murder. They're the beginnings of that sin. Now, let's take a look at the extension of the commandment not to commit adultery. Jesus says, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery. So here we have it. He's saying that lust, looking at another man's wife, not only it is equated to adultery because it leads. It is the root. It leads to adultery. That's the same way that being angry leads to murder. Lust leads to adultery with the other woman. So these are very important extensions of the Decalogue. In Matthew 5:38, Jesus comments on the rule for an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, saying we should not resist evil, but someone turns us on the right cheek, we should turn to him the other. He says that we should love our neighbor and our enemies. He extends those commandments. He extends the idea of an eye, the original comment of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He says we should not resist evil, but if someone strikes us on the right cheek, we should turn to him the other. Finally, this is very important, Matthew 5:43-44. Jesus says that we should love our neighbor and love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Again, these are extensions of the moral law. They extend the concept of love not only to loving our neighbor, which is difficult enough, it's tough enough, but also to love our enemies. He commands us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. These are very demanding commands. So I've gone through certain elements of the Decalogue, and I've gone through Jesus' extension of the Decalogue, namely that anger is the same as murder, and lust is the same as adultery, and that we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, and love our neighbor. These are all very difficult extensions of the commandments, almost impossible. But that's it. So I've gone through what I think is important. I'm going to do it again in a few days. Right now I'm going somewhere. But I'll be back next Sunday to continue this discussion of the Ten Commandments and what they may mean. And I hope you've given some benefit from it. And I will be going through the other commandments and understanding them, such as keeping the seventh day as a holy day, the fifth commandment of keeping honoring our parents and respecting the old, the eighth commandment, which prohibits stealing, the ninth commandment, which prohibits perjury in the law courts, and the these others. I will speak of these rules, and I will speak of Jesus' extension of these rules. He did extend them. He made possible moral interpretations that are very almost impossible for most of us to follow, such as praying for those who persecute us and loving our enemies, as well as loving our neighbor is tough enough, but loving our enemies is doubly difficult and very difficult. And praying for those who persecute us is extremely demanding morally and intellectually. As I said, Jesus extends the idea of adultery, which the Decalogue speaks of. It's the seventh commandment. He extends it, says, looking at a woman with lust is the same as adultery. And he's saying that doing that leads to adultery. In the same way, being angry with your brother, he says it's the same as murder because the anger and lust lead to these sins, these very significant sins, adultery and murder. I'll be speaking about the Ten Commandments another day. I hope you enjoyed this talk, and I'll be going through other elements of it when I get back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm away for a week visiting family in Boston from Sunday to Sunday, but when I get back on Sunday, I will probably talk about the other commandments. Hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and I hope you gained some benefit from it. And if you want to know more about what I say here, you can look at the section of my book, The Parables of Jesus, a commentary, the section on the Ten Commandments, called Appendix 1. Hope you've enjoyed this, and I've enjoyed speaking. Bye.